All right, good afternoon, everyone. This is the OFL William S. Hart Incorporated Board of Directors regular meeting. I'm Harold Egger, and with me today is Peter Russell, and I believe Veronica Alvarez is also on.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Kehlani, can you please let us know who else is on the line today?
Yeah, of course. Good afternoon, everyone. Today on the call for staff, we have myself, Janelle Lee, Melissa Bauer, Alex Salazar, Audrey Carter, Bryce Gardo, Candace Varner, Charles Pack, Cynthia Harson, Greg Bordeaux, Ileana Kyriakos, Maricela Freymark, Michael Leonesio, Ramon Burley Johnson, Stephanie Gray, Zach Hillowort, and Yelena Shapiro. Is there anyone that I missed? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to the teleconference locations. When I state the location, if you're on the call, please unmute and say present. First, 18824 Soledad Canyon Road.
Present.
Thank you. Next, 900 North Norma Street.
Present.
Perfect. And then 27616 Newhall Ranch Road.
Present.
And
Present.
then,
Oh, sorry.
thank you. And then 320 North Halsted Street. And we are present here. Thank you for all the teleconference locations.
All right, thank you. All right, moving on to public comment. Members of the public may address the board at regular meetings on agenda or non-agenda items within the board's subject matter jurisdiction and at special meetings on agenda items only by using the calling information set forth above. Speakers may be called in the order that requests are received or grouped by subject area. We ask that comments be limited to 2 minutes with no more than 15 minutes per single topic so that as many people as possible may be heard. To ensure equitable access, any member of the public who utilizes an interpreter shall receive double the time for public comment. By law, the board may take action only on items on the agenda. Board may, at its discretion, refer a matter to school staff or calendar the issue for future discussion. At this time, are there any members of the public on the line right now for the Board of Directors regular meeting for OFL William S. Hart Incorporated? All right, hearing none, we'll go ahead and move on. Going on to item 4A, the consent agenda. All items listed under the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. Peter, did you get a chance to read items 4A1 and A2?
I did.
All right, I also got a chance also. Can I get a motion to approve the consent agenda, please?
So moved.
I also second. Peter has moved up, and I have seconded. Can I get a roll call vote, Peter?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Item 4A, the consent agenda is approved. Thank you. All right, moving on to item 4B, the information items, OFL William S. Hart Charter update. Stephanie.
Hi, good afternoon, board members. I have our May 2026 charter update for you. For charter statistics, we have enrollment in the Canyon Country Center at 105 students, in the Santa Clarita Center, 101 students, and our online program at 40 students for total enrollment of 246 students. For academics, the school year is wrapping up. And while the charter experienced lower enrollment numbers, we are happy to report that our average MSP was 95.1%. SGI classes were very successful and very high student and had very high in student engagement. The instructional coaches will be hosting a welcome to high school workshop for our current middle school students who will be starting high school in the 26-27 school year to help make this transition easier. The workshop will include what to expect academically, the benefits of taking SGI classes, and school activities that they will now be eligible to participate in. For trips and sports, the sports season has concluded for the school year. The boys' soccer team came in fourth place, and the girls' soccer team lost in the first round of the playoffs. The students had an amazing experience, and the parents expressed gratitude for the opportunities for their children to participate in sports regardless of their backgrounds. The parents were also grateful to be able to attend the games in person this year. Staff and students are preparing for the departure of our final Pathways trip of the year to Japan. For educational partner engagement, students were able to visit local college campuses of CSUN and College of the Canyons to explore some close to home post-secondary options upon graduation. April was National Volunteer Month, and the charter celebrated with a volunteer event at the Gentle Barn. As the school year winds down, the William S. Hart Charter is hosting several engagement opportunities, including Senior Social, Spring Semester Awards, Senior Sunset, and of course, prom. Achievement chats will be starting soon, where the charter's instructional staff, students, and parents will be able to engage in academic strategic planning specific to each student for the start of the 26-27 school year. Are there any questions?
None here.
None here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I believe Audrey's
Thank
going to do online programs.
you. All right, Audrey.
Hello again, board members. And hello, my name is Audrey Carter. I am the OFL William S. Hart Online Program Principal. It's my first board meeting. Happy to be here. Yes, we currently have 40 students enrolled with credit attainment at 47.5% for those students. We have 7 students with disabilities and 9 English language learner students as well. For student engagement, we have our direct instruction classes finishing up at the end of next week. And then we also have a couple of students taking other dual enrollment courses, such as medical terminology and intro to genetics. Our PSCs hosted recently a 9th grade and 10th grade level night for parents to support students in those grade levels. And we anticipate holding more of those in the new school year, going with 11th grade and 12th grade and back through 9th and 10th grade as well. Our student spotlight for this particular time period is Tristan Rodriguez. We want to shine the light on Tristan this month because he has really accepted the help that he needs to be successful. So he is balancing his times with his SES, his times with his homeroom teacher, and we have just seen a willingness for him to receive that help and to balance those appointments. So the team is very proud of him and the progress that he's made to stabilize his progress since enrolling. For classes, we wanted to highlight our direct instruction art classes with our instructor, Leslie Fields. You'll see some pictures here of student artwork, and we have a student link for a virtual kind of museum art tour for you as well. And our classes are watercolor, they're drawing, and they're cartooning, and those are finishing up also next week. So we are enjoying supporting our budding artists and seeing the amazing work that they do as well. That is my charter update. Does the board have any questions?
I do not.
None here. Thank you very much. All right, moving on to item B2, the OFL William S. Hart School Climate Survey Results Overview. Stephanie.
Thank you. Okay, so the board will receive the OFL William S. Hart School Climate Survey Results Overview. This item is presented for informational purposes and summarizes the results of the annual school climate survey administered by Skyrocket in the fall slash winter of 2025 across staff, student, and parent groups. As part of our continuous improvement efforts, educational partner engagement, and in alignment with the LCFF Local Priority 6 requirement to administer an annual school climate survey, our LEA partnered with Skyrocket to conduct a comprehensive survey. This survey was designed to capture community perceptions around key areas such as safety, inclusion, engagement, connection, and support. The charter has received a tailored school climate report highlighting the key insights across 8 to 10 climate dimensions, including social, emotional, and physical safety, connection and belonging, and leadership. These reports include average scores from staff, student, and parent responses, key insights and trends drawn from the data, and recommended next steps for improvement or reinforcement. For the next steps, OFL William S. Hart Leadership will use these insights to inform the 2026-27 local control and accountability plan development, professional development planning, the completion of the LCFF Local Priority 6 on the California dashboard, and school-wide initiatives to support a positive and inclusive learning environment. A high-level data overview is the following charts present a comparative analysis of the climate survey conducted for William S. Hart, capturing perceptions from staff, students, and parents across multiple critical dimensions of school climate. Key strengths include high confidence in social, emotional, and physical safety, a strong sense of connection and belonging within the school community. Professionalism among school staff was rated very positively. For our areas of opportunity, we have fairness and clarity of school rules and environment, student-teacher relationships, and perceptions of peer pressure, especially related to social media. Are there any questions I can answer?
No questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to item B3, the OFL William S. Hart Financial Update. Alex.
Hey, thank you. This is a financial update for OFL William S. Hart as of the March 2026 close. So, projected P2 ADA as of this close, 1,269.04. So, as of very close to P2, the school is just under what it was originally projected at the adopted budget for last year. So, based upon that projected P2 ADA, revenue has been forecasted to be $19,894,249. Moving on to expenses. First, we have certificate of salaries and benefits, subtotal highlighted in blue. And for the year, certificate of salaries and benefits are projected to be $9,734,838, or 48.93% of revenue. Below that is the instruction-related services subtotal at $17,894,780, or 89.95% of revenue. The next two subtotals are your non-instructional expenses. First, operation facilities at $858,315. And finally, administration and all our activities at $1,072,945. Towards the bottom third of your screen is the projected GAAP excess revenue for the year. As of March 2026, OFL William S. Hart is projected to have excess revenue of $68,209, or an excess revenue percentage of 0.34%. On page two of the SB 740 report are the need to spend calculations for the school. So, highlighted in red, this is indicating that the school does not have a need to spend as of this close. Both of the required spending are being met. For certificate salaries and benefits, the requirement is met and overspent by $1,727,402. And then the instruction-related services also being met and overspent. The overspend is $2,070,000. So the excess revenue indicated on the previous screen, since the school does not have a need to spend, $68,209. Before we move forward, are there any questions?
Not here.
Nope.
Great. So the next document is the income statement. This is your actuals from July through March, your year-to-date variance, plus the remaining budget for April through June. All this information is rolled up into the SB 740 report that we just reviewed. So just a different format, a couple highlights. Once again, total revenue, $19,894,249. The total payroll for the year, for certificated and non-certificated staff, $10,271,739, or 51.63% of revenue, but the school is spending just under 52% of its revenue on certificated and non-certificated staff, along with its benefits. Their benefits, I'm sorry. And then the total expenses for the year, $19,826,040. The next document is the variance analysis. This is a report that we take the income statement that we just looked at. In this case, we take 1% of year-to-date expenses as a threshold for the analysis, and any line item that is actuals compared to budget that is either favorable or unfavorable is highlighted here. So the only one that comes up is the non-certificated stipends. This is actually split between certificated and non-certificated stipends, but either way, the line item wasn't budgeted. So in this case, it's causing an unfavorable variance. And that's the only line item. So other than that, the budget's pretty good. The next document is the income, or I'm sorry, the balance sheet. So total assets for the year from inception date as of March 2026 for OFL William S. Hart is $23,676,998. Total liabilities were $7,509,485. Total net assets for the school, $16,167,513. The last document is the cash forecast. So as of March 2026, the school had $6,409,300 cash in bank. If you look at between February and March, there is a decrease in the cash in bank for the school. That is because there was a transfer to the DNY investment account of $7,500,000 for OFL William S. Hart. So starting the next month, with April, the school will be having the investment presented on the cash forecast. At the end of the current fiscal year, June 30th, 2026, with that, OFL William S. Hart is projected to have $5,186,308 cash in bank. And the current calendar year, December 31st, 2026, will forecast to have $2,430,831 cash in bank. And that is the financial update. Are there any questions?
No questions here. Very thorough again.
None.
All right, moving on to action items. Item C1, the OFL William S. Hart Internal Revenue Service Form 990 and California Franchise Tax Board Form 199 for fiscal year 2024-2025. Alex.
Hey, thank you. We're asking the board to review and consider approval of the OFL William S. Hart IRS Form 990 and the California Franchise Tax Board Form 199 for fiscal year 2024-2025. The Form 990 is used by tax-exempt organizations like the school, OFL William S. Hart, Inc. It is a 501(c) nonprofit organization. The Form 990 is an informational return along with the Form 199 in that it is a requirement annually for the school to file it or the entity. And there's also no tax due with that. So the school is exempt from tax. So I'd like to note that both the form 990 and the Form 199 were based on the audited financial statements. So that is why CLA completes the audited financial statements first, get those filed by December 15th, and then they start working on the returns for the school. These returns were properly e-filed. They were authorized by both President Harold Ager, after his review, and they were, as stated, they had been submitted to the both tax and state authorities. We could walk right through it. So, next page. I'll continue. So, these are just instructions that CLA includes, and then we will go into the next few pages. Eventually, we'll get to the e-file authorization form for the school. This is authorizing CLA to e-file the form, or forms. So, then we get to the So this is the e-file authorization form, and then the next page will be the face of the return for the Form 990. So for parts 1 through 3, this is mostly reviewed by the public. So this includes the organizational mission, a 2-year financial summary, and on the next page is program accomplishments and number of students served. So this you have the mission statement for the school as well as the number of students that were served for fiscal year 2024 and 2025 as of the CBED date. So, on the next page, part 4. So this is a checklist of required schedules. This contains 38 yes or no questions. The yes answers usually require supplemental schedules. And also like to note that the responses usually stay consistent year to year, but we do review them annually for accuracy. So the next page. It is part 5. This covers IRS filings and tax compliance, as well as indicated that the yes answers offer indicate additional filing requirements. Although the IRS does not require these policies, they are considered good governance standards. So then we get to this is a section with the governing body and management, as well as various policies, and then section C, disclosure. So these forms are available on the IRS website. You can search the name of the entity, and then you can actually see these filings and review them. So if anybody does have additional questions, who do they contact? They contact the CFO for Wyandotte, Cynthia Harrison, and on the previous page was her contact information. Part 7. So this is publicly discloses compensation for officers, directors, key employees, as well as the board members. And then this includes anyone that served during the fiscal year. Parts 8 through 12. This includes detailed information from the financial statements. Here we have the statement of revenue, and then there'll be the following page will be the statement of functional expenses. This closely mirrors the audited financial statements. There are some variances between line items, but overall. Part 10 is the balance sheet. This comparison to prior to current year or current year ending as of June 30th, 2025, for your assets, liabilities, and your net assets for the entity. On the next page, this is a reconciliation of net assets. How do we get to the ending fund balance for the school? It's total revenue minus total expenses equals your excess revenue for the year. Then they add the prior ending net assets for OFL William S. Hart, and then get the ending net assets. So this case, also financial statements reporting, the school uses the accrual basis as well as does have separate financial statements. Schedule A, this is where it indicates what kind of public charity status, the public support. It is a school, so that is what Schedule A indicates. Then we go on to the next couple pages, so I'll blank. And continue. Eventually, we will get to Schedule D. Continue. Schedule D, supplemental financial statement. So with this schedule, there are additional information that is provided, the capital assets, the total net book value of the capital assets, as well as additional information for prepayable expenditures. Continue. Well, I believe we get to Schedule O. This is saying any difference between the audit financial statements and the tax return. There is no difference here. Okay. Oh, Schedule E. This is for schools specific. This indicates does the school offer financial assistance? No, it doesn't. Non-discriminatory policy is indicated on its website. And then we go to additional information on compensation. And then eventually we will get to Schedule O, which is used for explanatory information and additional disclosures. If we continue, we will eventually get to the Form 199. This is the California Franchise Tax Board's version of the Form 990. Most of the information is very similar. And also in that they usually file, you'll get the Form 199, and then the 990 kind of piggybacks on behind it. So are there any questions regarding the Form 990 or the Form 199?
No, no questions. It's a lot of pages for those
Yeah.
other tax forms. It's amazing.
CLA does a very good job, very thorough. If there are no questions, would you like me to propose a motion?
Yes, please.
Fantastic. Motion to approve and ratify the OFL-WMS Hart Internal Revenue Service Form 990, California Franchise Tax Board Form 199 for fiscal year 2024-2025.
So moved. Can I get a second?
Peter Russell, I second.
All right. I have moved. Peter has seconded. Can I get a roll call vote? Peter?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Item C1, OFL William S. Hart, Internal Revenue Service IRS Form 990, and the California Franchise Tax Board Form 199 for fiscal year 2024-2025 is approved. Thank you for that, for a very thorough report.
You're welcome.
All right, moving on to item C2, the OFL William S. Hart amended shared employee lease agreement with OFL Baldwin Park Incorporated, OFLBP, Bryce.
Hi, good afternoon, board and guests. The board is being asked to review and consider the approval of the amended OFL William S. Hart Shared Employee Lease Agreement with OFL Baldwin Park Incorporated. OFL William S. Hart has maintained a shared employee lease agreement with OFLBP since 2023-24 school year for the online program Employee Support Services. This partnership has helped expand educational opportunities and increase support for students within the community. As the partnership has continued to grow, the amended agreement provides additional clarification and detail regarding the expenses associated with the shared services model. These updates will help both organizations anticipate, manage, and plan for related costs more effectively moving forward. For an example, some of the costs would include overhead, professional development, conferences, things like that. All other components of the agreement will remain unchanged. The charter's proportionate share of the online program employee expenses are based on ADA. Does the board have any questions?
None here.
None here.
Would you like me to proceed with the motion?
Yes, please.
Okay. Motion to approve the OFL William S. Hart amend shared employee lease agreement with OFL Baldwin Park Incorporated.
Peter Russell, so moved.
And I second. Peter has moved, and I have seconded. Gotta get a roll call vote. Peter.
Aye.
So vote aye. Item
Aye.
C2. The OFL. I'm sorry. You know what? I keep on forgetting.
That's okay.
Veronica's in there.
Hi.
Veronica.
Hi.
Thank you. And again, item C2, the OFL William S. Hart amended shared employee lease agreement with OFL Baldwin Park Incorporated is approved. Thanks, Bryce. All right, moving on to item C3. The OFL William S. Hart Services Agreement between Nine Dot Education Solutions LLC and OFL William S. Hart Incorporated, Ileana.
Good afternoon, board and everyone on the call. The board is being asked to review and consider approval for the services agreement between OFL William S. Hart and Nine Dot Education Solutions LLC. Nine Dot provides operational back office support services to the organization, including human resources, payroll, accounting, and corporate compliance services. These supports help ensure the organization remains operationally efficient, compliant, and be able to maintain focus on student-centered work. This agreement would be effective July 1, 2026 through June 30, 2036, and includes standard renewal provisions as well as termination language for cause, including material breach or non-renewal of the charter. The proposed agreement also reflects a reduction in fees from 7.35% to 7%, resulting in cost savings to the organization while maintaining the operational support structure currently in place. Additionally, the agreement language was updated and streamlined to better align with agreements across the network and to provide additional clarity around operational roles, expectations, and processes. Does the board have any questions?
No questions here.
None here.
Would you like me to propose a motion?
Yes.
Motion to approve the OFL William S. Hart Services Agreement between Nine Dot Education Solutions LLC and Opportunities for Learning William S. Hart Inc.
Can I get a motion to approve?
Peter Russell, so moved.
Can I get a second?
I'll second.
All right. Peter has moved. Veronica has seconded. Can I get a roll call vote? Veronica.
Aye.
Peter?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Item C3, OFL William S. Hart Services Agreement between Nine Dot Education Solutions and OFL William S. Hart is approved. Thank you. All right, moving on to item C4, the OFL William S. Hart Services Agreement between Skyrocket Incorporated and OFL William S. Hart Incorporated. Yeah.
Thank you. The board is being asked to review and consider approval of the service agreement between OFL William S. Hart and Skyrocket Inc. Skyrocket provides a variety of educational and operational support services to the organization, including data analytics, instructional and operational consulting support, student engagement tools, and additional services outlined within the attached exhibits. This agreement would be effective July 1, 2026 through June 30, 2036, and includes standard renewal provisions as well as termination language for cause, including material breach and non-renewal of the charter. One of the major updates within the agreement is a move to simplified flat fee structure of 5%. The previous agreement included multiple fee calculations and varying rate structures. This updated structure is intended to improve transparency, administrative efficiency, and budget predictability moving forward. The agreement also includes several attached exhibits outlining the scope of services, including the basic service package, consulting and extracurricular services, and the Launch Your Learning applications, also known as LILA. Does the board have any questions?
None here.
Oh, would you like me to propose a motion? Oh, yes.
Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Motion to approve the OFL William S. Hart service agreement between Skyrocket Inc. and OFL William S. Hart Inc.
Can I get a motion to approve?
Veronica, I'll motion to approve.
Okay, second, please.
Peter Russell, I second.
All right, Veronica has moved. Peter has seconded. Can I get a roll call vote? Veronica.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry,
Yeah,
it's
Peter.
about to
No
cough.
worries.
Peter. I also vote aye. Item C4, the OFL William S. Hart Services Agreement between Skyrocket Incorporated and OFL William S. Hart Incorporated is approved. Thank you. I'm moving on to item C5, the OFL William S. Hart Declaration of Need for Fully Qualified Educators for Fiscal Year 2026-2027. Delaney.
Good afternoon, board members. We are requesting that the board review and consider the approval of the OFL William S. Hart Declaration of Need for Fully Qualified Educators. The Declaration of Need has become an annual submission for approval, as it is a prerequisite for the charter to have on file with the CTC in order to recommend any educators for the following emergency permits: the emergency CLAD, the emergency bilingual authorization, and general education limited assignment teaching permits, special education limited assignment permits. The declaration of need will be valid for the 2026-2027 school year. The charter's teachers are fully qualified. However, these emergency permits would be used to help fulfill certain assignments. Does the board have any questions? Would you like me to propose a motion?
Sure.
Motion to approve the OFL William S. Hart Declaration of Need for Fully Qualified Educators.
Can I get a motion to approve?
Peter Russell, so moved.
Can I get a second?
I'll second.
All right. Peter has moved. Veronica has seconded. Can I get a roll call vote? Peter?
Aye.
Veronica?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Item C5, the OFL William S. Hart Declaration of Need for Fully Qualified Educators for Fiscal Year 2026-2027 is approved. Moving on, item C6, the OFL William S. Hart Data Sharing Memorandum of Understanding, the MOU, with OFL William S. Hart Incorporated and the California College Guidance Initiative, the CCGI. Charles.
Thank you. The board will consider approval of a data sharing memorandum of understanding with Opportunities for Learning, William S. Hart, and the California College Guidance Initiative, known as CCGI. Now, the CCGI provides schools access to californiacolleges.edu, the state's official college and career planning platform. The MOU will allow counselors to securely upload student transcripts and supporting documents, helping streamline college applications and ensure college receive verified student records. Now, this agreement supports college and career readiness, improves efficiency, and promotes equitable access to post-secondary opportunities, particularly for first-generation college applicants. It also includes data privacy protections and complies with applicable laws, including FERPA. There is no fiscal impact, and the superintendent and leadership recommends approval. A motion recommendation to okay, right. Recommend, sorry, that sounded weird, right? To provide a recommendation or motion there. To approve the data sharing MOU with OFL William S. Hart and the California College Guidance Initiative, CCGI.
All right, can I get a motion to approve, please?
Peter Russell, submit.
All right, can I get a second?
I'll second.
All right, Peter has moved. Veronica has seconded. Roll call vote, Veronica.
Aye.
Peter?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Item C6, the OFL William S. Hart Data Sharing MOU with OFL William S. Hart Incorporated and the California College Guidance Initiative is approved. All right. Thanks, Charles. All right, moving on to item C7, the OFL William S. Hart Student Handbook for Fiscal Year 2026. 2027. I saw it.
Thank you, Harold. Good afternoon, everyone. So before you, board, is the final OFL William S. Hart Student Handbook for the 2026-2027 fiscal year. This handbook is being shared as an action item and now reflects all the final edits previously introduced to the board during our March meeting, along with a few final recommendations made by school legal counsel. So these recommendations include adding military youth, migratory youth and newcomer youth when defining special student populations, and some small edits to the truancy language and the inclusion of gender inclusive pronouns throughout the handbook. As a refresher, the 2026-2027 student handbook has been reviewed in collaboration with school leadership and other key school stakeholders. With the approval of the handbook, the school will post it on its school website. We'll translate it into Spanish, released to students upon enrollment, and share with key community partners when necessary. Thank you again, board, for the opportunity to share the final handbook with you. This concludes my presentation. Does the board have any questions?
None here.
No.
None here.
Would All you right. like me to propose a motion?
Yes.
I would like to propose a motion to approve the OFL William S. Hart Student Handbook for the fiscal year 2026-2027 in its substantive form, and to authorize the superintendent of OFL William S. Hart in consultation with legal counsel to make revisions to the student handbook throughout the 2026-2027 academic year, if necessary, to align with necessary updates, new legal requirements, or updates to the education, excuse me, and updates to the education code, and ratify actions taken related thereto.
Can I get a motion to approve?
Veronica Alvarez, I'll motion to approve.
Can I get a second?
Peter Russell, I second.
All right, Veronica has moved. Peter has seconded. Can I get a roll call vote? Veronica?
Aye.
Peter?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Item C7, the OFL William S. Hart Student Handbook for Fiscal Year 2026-2027 is approved. Thank you, Martha.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to item C8, the OFL William S. Hart Referral Protocols for Addressing Pupil Behavioral Health Concerns. Marcel.
Thank you, Harold. So before you, board, is a copy of the referral protocols for addressing pupil behavioral health concerns for board consideration and hopeful approval. This policy establishes a formal process for identifying, supporting, and referring students in grades 7 through 12 who may be experiencing behavioral health concerns. This policy was developed in alignment with California Education Code 49428 and in consultation with school and community stakeholders, including behavioral health professionals and the school's legal team. The purpose of this policy is to ensure our schools have a consistent and proactive framework for responding to student behavioral health needs while connecting the students and families to appropriate supports and services. Those supports and services could be local or they can also be community-based support services. We are not unique to developing a protocol. Many schools across the state are currently in the process or already have a policy in place because it is tied to legislation that requires schools to have formal protocols. And so we use the frameworks developed by the CDE to help draft the development of the protocols before you. As we know, schools are increasingly supporting students experiencing anxiety, depression, trauma, substance abuse concerns, grief, social isolation, and other behavioral health challenges. And what this policy aims to do is to help formalize the systems and the procedures already occurring across our sites while strengthening consistency, training, and accountability. One of the key components of this policy that you may have already noticed is that its focus is on equitable access to support services for all students, but including in particular high-risk student groups. So these particular student groups include vulnerable student populations such as our foster youth kiddos, our homeless youth students, students with disabilities, any student that is part of the LGBTQ community, students experiencing grief or trauma, and/or any pregnant or parenting youth. The policy also establishes a structured referral process for students who may need additional behavioral health support. And so, under this policy, staff may identify concerns through observations, attendance. So, if we see changes in attendance, if we see changes in student behavior, if we are noticing disengagement or maybe some discipline trends, if we notice something in the student writing that could be a sign that the student is behave or experiencing some kind of behavioral health concerns, sometimes students will write things of concern in their writings or in surveys, or sometimes we just get family input. And so those are some of the different ways in which we'll be identifying if a student is in need. Students identified with behavioral health concerns are then referred to the assistant principal or the designee. And then from there, the assistant principal will work with the student support team, the SST team, to determine appropriate interventions and supports. And as previously mentioned, these supports can be in-house, but they can also be referred through any like local city or county resources that are abundantly available for these types of situations. Another aspect of this policy is the emphasis on positive interventions and support. So the policy encourages schools to use restorative and supportive practices. We're not looking at, punitive measures. It's more focused on like counseling, mentoring, restorative conversations, maybe some goal setting, peer supports if applicable, and some classroom-based interventions. The policy also addresses staff training requirements. So in accordance with Ed Code Section 49428, which is a mouthful. the school will provide behavioral health referral training for employees who have direct contact with students. Luckily for us, there has been some resources and some training materials that has been provided by the state, so we will be leaning in and reviewing those to see if we can incorporate some of those training materials into our staff training. The training includes recognizing signs of behavioral health concerns, understanding the referral pathways that we already have in place internally, and identifying available school and community resources. So, if we identify a need, we need to make sure that our staff knows who to direct the concern to and like what supports are going to be offered at that point. If approved today, implementation steps will include, which includes staff training and awareness activities, continued coordination with counselors, behavioral health providers, and support staff, and ongoing review of behavioral health trends and the referral effectiveness. So we have a referral process in place, as previously mentioned, but we want to make sure that we are reviewing it on a regular basis to make sure that it is effective. In terms of fiscal impact, the cost associated with incorporating this policy will be absorbed in the school's operating budget, and we do anticipate it being minimal, especially if we're going to be leaning into some of the state resources that have been provided. The superintendent and the school leadership team recommend the approval of the referral protocols for addressing pupil behavioral health concerns. This includes my review of the policy, but I'm happy to answer any questions that the board may have.
Does this fall adjacent to mandatory reporting, or does this fall under, I guess, the umbrella of
I mean, it can. So if there is a behavioral health concern that has that staff feels that the student may be in danger, then yes, they're still required to abide by the requirements of mandated reporter.
Okay. And so I guess the example would be if a student's giving signs of potential distress, then this would be triggered.
If it's
This would be
severe
triggered.
and it's physical. So it depends on the type of distress. If they are having, I would say, like, let's say that they're having a difficulty with their peer group, that's not necessarily something that we would refer to
Right.
through the mandated reporter process. But if we anticipate that the student is in physical danger or harm, then yes, that's something that we would report.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, great question. If there are no further questions, I'd be happy to propose a motion on the board's behalf.
Please.
I'd like to propose a motion to approve the OFL William S. Hart referral protocols for addressing pupil behavioral health concerns to ensure compliance with state law and strengthen the school system of behavioral health supports for students.
All right, can I get a motion to approve, please?
Peter Russell, so moved.
Can I get a second?
I'll second.
All right, Peter has moved. Veronica has seconded. Can I get a roll call vote? Veronica.
Aye.
Peter?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Item C9, the OFL William S. Hart. Referral protocols for addressing pupil behavioral health concerns is approved. Thank you,
Thank you.
Marissa. All right, moving on to item C9, the OFL William S. Hart Credit Enrichment and Year-Round Incentive Compensation Programs for fiscal year 2026-2027. All eligible staff, assistant principal, principal, director of schools, and assistant superintendent. Candace.
Good afternoon, board. In front of you today, can you please go back to the cover page? Thank you. In front of you today is for your review and consideration the approval of the William S. Hart OFL Credit Enrichment and Year-Round Incentive Compensation Program for fiscal year 26-27. This includes all eligible staff, assistant principals, principals, director of schools, and assistant superintendents. The board has adopted its discretionary school year incentive program in order to recognize and reward exceptional performance, significant contributions, and substantial accomplishments by the staff during the applicable school year based on the school's goals and responsibilities. Copies of each incentive for the school year incentive programs are presented below and within the packet. The contract term will be for the school year 26 through 27 incentive program. Maximum incentives are noted in the following pages for the fiscal impact as well. Can you answer any questions?
No questions.
Would you like me to propose a motion?
Yes.
I propose a motion to approve the OFL William S. Hart Credit Enrichment and Year-Round Incentive Compensation Programs for fiscal year 26-27. This includes all eligible staff, assistant principal, principal, director of schools, and assistant superintendents.
So moved. Can I get a second, please?
I'll second.
All right, I have moved. Veronica has seconded. Can I get a roll call vote, Veronica?
Aye.
Peter?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Item C9, the OFL William S. Hart Credit Enrichment and Year-Round Incentive Compensation for fiscal year 2026-2027 is approved. All right, thanks, yes. All right, before we move on to adjournment, do either of the board directors have any final comments before we adjourn?
No.
No, thank you.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. Just a reminder for everybody that the next William S. OFL William S. Hart meeting will be on June 24th, 2026 at 3:30 p.m. All right. Can I get a motion to adjourn, please?
Peter Russell, so moved.
Can I get a second?
I second. Veronica
All right,
second.
Peter has moved. Veronica has seconded. Can I get a roll call vote? Veronica?
Aye.
Peter?
Aye.
I also vote aye. The meeting is adjourned at 4:43 p.m. All right, thank you, everybody, for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.